This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He joins us every Monday at this hour, and we appreciate same. And we will be at his new bank location in Elmwood on Wednesday, broadcasting live, and we're looking forward to that. And we're going to tell you some special things about that branch, vastly different from any typical bank branch, that is really, really interesting. So make sure you join us on Wednesday. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Guy, we spoke with Andrew Gillen from Cato earlier in the show about the Department of Education resuming its effort to collect on defaulted federal student loans. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about other particular characteristics of that. I wanted to talk to you, though, about what should students and parents do about these delinquent loans now. You obviously bring that banking background to it, and you know all the downstream implications of where this could ultimately end up and where it could be a burden that you just can't get out from under.
Yeah, and the student loan problem is a really big issue, and if we have time, we can get to how we got there and what happened to tuition over the years. But let's move straight to your question, which is, you're in default, and now, May 5th, the government is restarting payments. So Linda McMahon, Secretary of Education, she has put out a bulletin and said all of the programs, the deferments, all those things are off the table. It's not quite right because there are some that are still on the table, but let's start with the challenge. So what has happened is, There's a lot of discussion about forgiving student loans, a lot of discussion about different programs, and unfortunately, a lot of students and parents just said, well, we're just going to wait and see. And unfortunately, what that means is 21% of the student loan population has never made a payment. Not one penny, not one nickel. Another 38% actually have been continuing to pay. So they said, all right, these are the payments. They might have had older loans. They got on a repayment plan. But 41% are left in limbo in the middle. Some are still waiting. There are lawsuits that are pending. There's some payment plans that haven't been resolved. But for the ones that are delinquent, the ones that haven't paid, and that's over 9 million people, the federal government has said, okay, the gloves are off. We will keep your tax refund. At the end of the summer, if you haven't come to us, we will start garnishing wages. So we will literally send notices to your employer. And this is really a very unfortunate thing because wage garnishment has very serious consequences. First, you lose your money. But second, you lose credibility with your employer because now the employer thinks, well, here's somebody that can't manage their money. The other part is it is being reported to the credit bureaus. And this is a big, big challenge because whatever you do financially is dependent upon credit score. So if you have a high credit score, high 700s, 800s, you get the very best rates, the very best terms. If you have a low credit score, you either get a very high rate or you just get turned down flat. So now students are facing a real challenge. Garnishment is pending. Losing your tax refund is pending. Credit score drop is pending. And all those things are occurring right now. So question is, what do you do? How do you get out of this? If you go to the government website, studentaid.gov, or you call the 800 number, 800-433-3243, you can ask about the status of your loan. And there are a couple of options. One is you can consolidate the loans. If you immediately consolidate them, a new payment will start, and you will no longer be in default as long as you start making your payments. The other is to rehab your payments. The advantage of rehab versus consolidation is the past due interest isn't added into your loan. And if you make 9 payments on time, then your rehab loan will be taken out of delinquent status and you'll be back on track. So it really is, if you have a student loan, this is the time. You can't ignore it anymore. The government will find you. You know, they do have the ability to track people down. And of course, with Social Security numbers, they will know anyone who's getting a tax refund. This also makes you ineligible to get some other federal benefits. So very, very important for delinquent people to get back on track and go to the studentaid.gov website.
Guy, things don't go well in the month of June, and you don't have the amount of money necessary to make the full payment. Would you recommend making partial payment?
Yeah, and if you go to website, what they're going to do is that they will give you an option. You can either resume normal payments or you can have income-based payments. And the income-based payments are 10 to 15% of discretionary income. So they'll look at how much money you have left over after paying your mortgage, after, you know, paying your taxes, and set the payment at 10 to 15%, which should be affordable. And there's a way to appeal that if even after that you feel like that's too high. But you've got to get in touch with the servicer. And when you go to the government website, they'll tell you who your servicer is, because it's not going to get better and it's going to compound from now on, because that due date, May 5th, is now come and gone. So the time to get in touch is right now, and not wait until you get an unpleasant notice in the mail that you're being garnished or that you lost your tax refund.
We went through several pauses during the pandemic, and during a pause, were these loans still accumulating interest?
It depends on the loan. The student loans are incredibly complex. You have direct student loans, family loans, Perkins loans, Family Plus. Most of them continued to accumulate interest. Some did not. And then there was some pushback where the government initially said there was no accumulation of interest. And then as a result of lawsuits, that was reversed. And now there is an accumulation of interest. So the short answer is, for most of them, interest did accumulate. For a few, they did not. And for that group in the middle, it is a bit confusing. And you need to go to your individual portal with your servicer, and you can see where you are. And what accumulated on your particular loan, because each circumstance is different. And sometimes people have a mix of all three different loans.
Is there an option to approach the servicers of these loans for like a one-time lump sum settlement and get out altogether?
Yeah, get out of jail free. It would make sense. And if I were running the program and if I were advising Secretary McMahon, I would say, you know, let's offer a one-time discount, you know, whatever it is, 10, 20, 25% pay in full. That is not on the table right now, and that hasn't been authorized yet. But it would make a whole lot of sense because we have a problem. It's a $1.7 trillion problem. The amount of student loans doubled in the last decade. So it is a big, big part of the government deficit, and it's not getting better, unfortunately. And the steps now are attempting to make sure that it doesn't get worse than it is. But at $1.7 trillion, that's a serious amount of money owed.
A lot of folks are wondering, you know, it's funny, you talk to students and you ask them, so how much interest are you paying on your loan? They don't have any clue. I mean, the servicing of these loans seems to be something vastly different than your experience at a local bank. You know, at a local bank, you always know how much interest is accrued, what the amount of interest, even, you know, if it's a variable rate, you get a statement, you know, all of that. And, you know, it's funny, I've talked to students and they're like, I have no clue. I said, well, what are they telling you? You know, it's like, I don't understand.
Well, and the unfortunate thing is if we handled loans like the federal government did, we would be cited by the FDIC for violating truth and disclosure, because the government does not make it easy for you to figure out how much you owe. They don't make it easy to figure out what the interest rate is. And so students get wrapped up in this and think, you know, it's almost free. I can do whatever I want. And it's really not. And one of the problems is students are told when they go to the Office of Financial Aid, you're eligible to borrow a certain amount. They don't talk about the interest rate. They just say you're eligible to borrow this large amount. And students somehow get the impression, well, that's what I'm expected to borrow. And they borrow far more than they needed. I've been talking to people over the weekend because they knew we were going to discuss this and heard an interesting story. Students' parents had saved money. They covered tuition, covered room and board. The students went to the financial aid office just routinely, and they said, oh, yeah, you're eligible to borrow this money from the this much money. Student borrowed the money, which he didn't need, and then used it to throw a giant party for everyone in the dorm.
Jesus.
And ended up with debt. Other people have approached me, their students, unbeknownst to them, because the parents don't have to sign on the direct student loans, used it because he wanted to go to Mexico on spring break. Well, no, this is not what these loans are intended for. And unfortunately, the students, you know, at that age don't have discretion. They don't really think clearly. And they hear, you can borrow this amount, and they go ahead and do it. No, you're talking about interest rates. The rates that people aren't paying attention to, the undergraduate loans is 6.53, and graduate loans are 8.08%. So those are the two interest rates, which should be prominently disclosed, but it's hard to find those rates. You have to look pretty hard.
Yeah, it's just, and then if you're a parent, because of FERPA, Federal Education Right to Privacy Act, you have a child of majority, but you're paying this loan, you can't go get any information. It's like the craziest thing ever.
Well, it is, and like, you know, the student grades are not sent to the parents automatically, because once again, they're adults. Student health data, and look, I understand patient privacy, but if my 18-year-old or 19-year-old has serious psychiatric problems, I would really like to know. And I think as a parent, you could help. But you're not notified, and it really can be a challenge. And I understand the privacy concerns, but I think the offset is some people that could help you don't have any idea that there's a problem, so they don't help.
Guy, I got a text here. Interesting. He says, you should be able to discharge your student loan in bankruptcy. Maybe lenders would be more picky than who they would give the loan to.
Yeah, this is one of the things that people don't understand. In 2010, banks made student loans. I used to work at a bank called People's Bank in St. Bernard. We made a lot of student loans. We had guarantees, but we had underwriting standards. But in 2010, the federal government, in debating the Affordable Care Act, said, if we take over the student loan program, we being the federal government, we can do it so much better than banks that, therefore, we will make a profit. Congressional Budget Office, which has never made an accurate prediction in its entire history, predicted that student loans would be a profit center for the federal government, a multi-billion dollar annual profit center. And so banks don't make student loans anymore. So to your person who called or texted, the lender is the federal government. The lender is not a bank. Banks don't make student loans anymore. These are all made by the federal government. It was changed in 2010. And the federal government does not allow student loans to be discharged in bankruptcy. So the lender is the government. The lender writes the rules, and the lender said, no, not discharged in bankruptcy. But obviously, the fallacy of the CBO assumption that it would be profitable is just that. So you have $1.7 trillion of loans outstanding, and on 21% of them, people have never made even one payment. I mean, none whatsoever. So you could figure that's probably an $800 billion loss sitting there waiting to be occurred. And on the ones in the middle, probably another $200-300 million. So student loan program will probably cost more than $1 trillion as it sits in losses to the government. And the out years are just going to depend on what changes are made.
And the government's borrowing this money to be able to pass its money on, right? And that's why the interest factor on the money that the government's borrowing is going up and up and up and up, and that's why we have a $36 trillion debt.
Yeah, it's a federal program that was created with the best of intentions, and I think people in Congress look back, and some of the people in Congress are pretty old, and that's the nature of seniority there. They remember the GI Bill in 44 with fondness, and, you know, it was a great program. But what they forget is when the GI Bill passed, it was something for returning soldiers. It was $500. It was a direct grant. But $500 in 1944 covered tuition. It covered tuition whether you went to Harvard or University of Pennsylvania or LSU. So it was something that worked. It transformed a whole generation of people. It created a phenomenal economy. But what happened is after that, tuition went up much more rapidly than inflation. And that's been a big part of the problem. So now the debt is much bigger. The tuition is much higher. And people are having a real struggle trying to afford it. Folks that save money and wanted to just save for tuition found that very difficult.
And meanwhile, this continues on because there are kids that are graduating this week, actually, that are signing new loans in the coming months to go to the school of their choice. And so the situation's not getting any better. We're not servicing them any better. We're not doing a whole lot of things any better. And it's interesting. I've talked to students that have received no statements while they're in school. So some may have been in a position to pay interest or whatever. It's as though they don't even try to collect any money while they're at school. I mean, I don't understand how crazy that is.
No, you're exactly right. And unless, if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, you're not going to get a bill for a payment due. You can go to the portal and see what you owe, but you're not going to be asked to make payments while you're in school. And part of the challenge is, because we had so many different payment options that were proposed and then rescinded, that 41% of students with student loans are really in limbo. And they're trying to sort out, okay, what do they owe and when do they have to start repaying it? And that's going to be part of the challenge. The 21% that are in total default are being notified right now, look, we're going to start the garnishment procedures.
Crazy. We will be right back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the British tariff deal. And obviously, there's a new one on the table with China as well. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And Guy, before we pivot to the next issue, so we were briefly talking before we went to the break about this continues on, right? That kids are going to be borrowing money this summer. They're graduating. So is there something that they should do, questions they should ask, things they should look for?
Absolutely. What students and parents don't realize is that there are two big firms owned by private equity. One's called EAB, one's called RNL. And these firms have a business of trying to maximize the amount of tuition that students will pay. So their goal is to use artificial intelligence, demographic data, to maximize what they call the yield on students and parents. So you think you're talking to the university, you actually have a very sophisticated financial firms working to extract as much money as possible. Now, what parents need to know is this year is the maximum number of high school students, and that number is beginning to decline on an annual basis. So there is a certain number of schools and a shrinking supply of students. So your student is now more in demand, and it's very important to negotiate. Don't accept the first offer. What these firms do, and they're pretty cynical about it, they'll say, no, your kids are great. They're going to get a $12,000 presidential scholarship as a discount off of the $60,000 tuition. Well, the $60,000 is like a car's suggested retail price. The only people who pay that are very rich folks and foreigners. So the school is just trying to get you to sign a quick deal. So the first point is negotiate and ask for a better price. Don't hesitate. It's like an Arab rug bazaar or a used car lot. Ask for a better price because the universities are eager to get students on campus, and they're very nervous about this shrinkage. The other thing, of course, is borrow as little as possible. Tell your student, look, don't take out a side loan. Don't spend money on things you don't need. Eat ramen noodles. You know, you don't need a fancy car. You don't need to stay in a luxury apartment. You don't need a condo. And this is one, I actually was wrong on this. I've advised people historically stay at home and save money. Actually, if you live on campus, you're three times more likely to graduate. So I'm going to have to change my recommendation. Yeah, who knew? I always thought it was smart. You know, you live here, just stay at home. Apparently, that connection to campus leads to higher graduation rates. So, you know, scrimp on everything else, but live on campus. And then get a part-time job. That also increases your odds of graduation. There's a lot of temptation for foolishness if you're living on campus or hanging out at college. Having a job takes away some of that time and makes you focus. So negotiate, borrow as little as possible, live on campus if you can, and encourage your student to get a job. And those things will all lead toward higher graduation.
And if you have a revenue source to pay for some of this, you should do so, right? I mean, because that way
absolutely.
You relieve the pain at the end. Because the pain, I mean, when you walk away and they got this big number, you're like, my God, how did I get myself into this?
And the other thing is when you apply for a permanent job, employers respect the fact that a student had a job. It's like, yeah, I worked. I was working my way through school. Now, you didn't pay all of it. We understand that. But that shows work ethic and dedication. So it actually gives you a leg up on getting a permanent job. And the pressure on schools is real. I mean, just in the last few years, Goddard College in Vermont closed, St. Rose in Albany closed, and Iowa Wesleyan closed. So universities will negotiate. Parents just don't realize they're up against very sophisticated private equity firms and algorithms trying to extract as much money as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's stacked against you for sure. And then you have the additional pressure as a parent. You know, your child gets into a school that they really wanted to go to. It's not easy to get into that school. And so you don't want to, you know, be too aggressive in your ask. And I've had several people tell me, don't worry about that. All I can say is no.
I mean, exactly. You know, like, once you're accepted, asking for a better deal does not change the acceptance.
Right.
So you go back and say, look, that's great, but, you know, we're a little short there. We need a break. And, you know, what can you do on price? And as you say, all they can say is no. And I would not tell the university they're your first choice. Because that hurts your negotiating position.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.